Okay, today I don't have much to say. I want to just go over a few things I left out from yesterday about Zayin Adar. A few more short things, and maybe I'll tell you two verloch on the Megillah. Okay, the first thing we learned yesterday about the minog of Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar, to commemorate the Yartzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. There is an interesting fact that on Sukkot we have the Ushpizin. The Ushpizin, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Then comes, who comes after that?
Well, it depends.
Depends, right. That's the big question, the big debate. But let's work with the approach of Moshe Aaron. Mr. Weiss is here, he's going to tell me if I'm saying it's correct. Moshe the Aaron, and then comes Yosef, and then David. Correct? Mm-hmm. That's one possible order. So according to what I've read, who says that's the right way? There's another way. There's Yosef comes first, different opinions. But according to this approach, the significance of why it's Bedafka versus Moshe the Aaron is because Moshe's yard site is Zayin Adar. Mr. Weiss, I hope you're calculating what I'm saying now.
Yes.
And Aaron's yard site is Aleph Nisan. Aleph Av. You're allowed to fast Aleph Nisan, because on the Vilos, the 2 months, you're allowed to fast because 2 days in the Torah where there were tragedies. And the day in which the fourth day of Sukkot, which is the Ushpizn of Moshe, that day of the week will always be the day of the week of Zayin Adar. And the next day, the fifth day of Sukkot, which is the Ushpizn of Aaron, will always be Rosh Chodesh, the following year, Rosh Chodesh Av. So this is something which is very interesting, that the Ushpizn always falls out that day of the week. I did not check the calendar. I'm relying upon Mr. Weiss.
No, I don't know about the
alpha. Mr. Weiss, he's a bucky.
Not
in the...
Not you're going to get the following year.
Following year, yeah, the following year. So you'll check this out. You'll report back to us if this is true. It's an interesting idea. There's a minog, the very minog that we mentioned, really touched upon this yesterday, that on Zayin Adar to make siyumin, to make a siyum hashas, to make a siyum mishnayis, siyum of Tanakh, because as we mentioned yesterday, that's the real way to commemorate the yartzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, is to learn the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything Torah Siv Lanu Moshe is to learn Torah. Also, it appears that there was a minog. We don't see this today, to give a new Sefer Torah. Today it's very common. People give Sefer Torah today all times of the year. You hear, when it's not being given at any time of the year to commemorate a yartzeit or some other event, we used to be accustomed to give it on Shavuos, just to give a new Sefer Torah, or maybe on Simchas Torah. But it appears from what I've read is that it used to be, years ago, very common to give a new Sefer Torah. The Achnosa Sefer Torah would take place bedafka on Zayin Adar. It's Torah Moshe. What more can you do for Moshe Rabbeinu than to have the Torah, to Torah Sivan Moshe, to give a new Sefer Torah on Moshe Rabbeinu? Mentioned that yesterday that the Chevra Kadisha would go make their rounds on Zayin Adar to collect for the community, especially Kimcha de Pischa. The Chevra Kadisha in ancient times was not just set aside, their work was not just due to Nesim. The Chevra Kadisha was in charge of Tzedakah. And the reason why they were in charge of Tzedakah was the biggest avoida, the biggest chesed in taking care of the dead, is that it should not come lidekach. Exactly, tzedakah tatzel mimavis, and on a very similar level, if a people that were poor, they would actually starve to death. People did not have what to eat, did not have clothing, did not have heat, did not have the basic necessities. It led to illness, led to sicknesses, led to death. So the Chevra Kadisha, to show they were really serious about their avoda, is they would try to put themselves out of business, and the way to put themselves out of business to prevent people from dying, both on a physical level, on a spiritual level. Stock at Tatsal Mimavis.
The Lukacha was very, very against Shnoras and Mavayas.
Stock at Tatsal Mimavis.
Yeah, that's later right.
I know, the first time I saw it, I was horrified. Okay, I didn't go to Levi's until a little bit later in life, like most people, they don't let you go to Levi's until later in life. And the first time I went to a Levi's, not the first time, but like as I went to Levi's more and more, and I see these people, you're standing outside, and they're screaming, Tztaka Tatzel Mimavis. I was horrified. I thought it was so inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
It's not the time. People are suffering. The family is here. What are you doing? Tztaka Tatzel Mimavis. Okay, so as time goes on, you get used to everything. And you don't think about it anymore. But I was very surprised to read that this was a takana. They actually did this. They did it by design in ancient times, that at funerals the Rabbanim instructed the Gabbai Tzedaka to actually go in front of the Aron. When they led the Aron to the Beis HaChayim, the procession, who went in front of the Aron? The Gabbai Tzedaka with a pushka, and they would scream, Tzedaka Tatzel Mimavis. Very, you know, it's all a matter of how you're trained and how you look at it. If you're not accustomed to it, as I was, as many people are, it's a horrifying thing. But Chazal, in the ancient times, they felt this was an appropriate time to hit upon people that it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to be Misa. You can prevent this from happening by giving Tzedaka, especially when there were people that really had what to give and they didn't want to give. And this was instituted. In fact, he brings down there this very horrible story where there were people, they were fakers. As we all know today, there are a lot of charlatans, people out there that are trying to collect money and they don't have any credentials and so on and so forth. And they had a great idea how to make money. They took a coffin and they had a mock funeral. they put a living person in a coffin and they covered it up. They didn't have, there wasn't a closed box. They just put a shmat on top so you could see the outline of the body. And they draped a black shmat on the body. And they took a beer. Four people were carrying his beer, and one of the people went in front with a pushka. Tzedaka Tatzel Mimavis. Everyone should come out and give money. And people came out and people gave out, and of course it wasn't any tzedaka. They were collecting for themselves. And the story ends when they got to the cemetery. They told the guy, okay, come out, it's over. We've, and the guy was dead. What they thought was a joke turned out to be like a horror story. Indeed, he was dead. So this is serious. So another interesting thing that they would do when the Gaboyim would go collecting at the time of the funeral, this is a very scary thing, when they went out at the time of the funeral, the Gaboyim would sing Yigdal. That was their custom. Yigdal Elokim Chai, and when they cut to the end, Nesim Yichai Yekel Baroiv Chasto Baruch Adai Hashem, so they would repeat that line a few times. Nesim Yichai Yekel is a way of saying Tzedaka Tatzel Mimavis. Yeah.
Chaim Gel, when he used to collect the Yeshiva Orthodox, yeah, during the Minyada, would say Tzedaka Tatzel Mimavis.
Why the movies? Why?
Because he's collecting, get 5 cents for everybody.
You couldn't afford the movie.
Most of it was kids.
Yeah. So why is it such to me movies?
Gift is stuck instead of going to the movies.
Yeah. Okay. Someone told me personally that when he was a bacher, Rav Hutner, he arranged that he should go out on a date. He was like, I think it was a yosem. He didn't have any parents. So Rav Hutner, you know, he said, okay, now you're going to get married. Shidduchim, I'm a very good shidduch. I want you to go out. And he didn't know the first thing what to do. So he went to Rav Hutner and he said, okay, where should I take her? Everything is set to go. I'm going to pick her up. It's my first girl. Where should I take her? So he said, what do the bachim do today? Where do they go? So he said, take her to a movie. Rav Hutner told, I heard this first thing. Rav Hutner told the bacher, take the girl out to a movie. Could you imagine today such a thing?
The FJJ replaced hospice.
Okay. Let's now go different times. Let's now go, they would sing Mesim Yichai Yekel Brod Chastom. Another interesting thing, why Bedavka, why Zayin Adu was a day that was a special day in the history of Klal Yisrael for to do different things, to be Mespalo, for Chevek Kadisha, to go to the cemetery, because according to tradition, according to some traditions, not according to all traditions, Zayin Adar was the last day in which the mun fell. The day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, the mun stopped falling. And it was 33 days until they entered into Eretz Yisrael. They used the mun. The mun, even though the mun only lasted for one day, that mun lasted for 30 days. They came to Yisrael, they didn't have what to eat for 3 days, and they started to cultivate, to harvest the crop, and that's when they had, it was the last day. The mun is compared to Tal. The tal, the mun was enveloped with tal, lamala, and lamata. And on Zayin Adar, we go to the Beis HaKvaris and we're mispalel that, and the mun only fell in the zchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. The mun fell in the zchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, as Chazal say, it was the mun, the be'er, and what were the three things? Anani HaKavod. Aaron was Anani HaKavod, Imrim was the Mer, and Moshe was the Mon, and the Mon stopped falling. Bizman HaZeh, we are all preoccupied with Parnasa. Okay, this is what is the Ikar Sheb Ikarim, right? That's the way it is. If it is Ein Kemach in Torah, and therefore, since the Mon fell, the Mon stopped falling on
and
Zion.
That expression it says, Im Yesh Torah Ein Kemach.
In Torah in Kemach?
Im Yesh Torah
in Kemach. New version, the New Testament. So Zayin Adar is the day when the Mon fell. So you can interpret this many ways. The Mon fell, the Mon stopped falling, we're in a lot of trouble. When the Mon stops falling,
you gotta go to work.
You gotta go to work. It's worse than go to work if there's a job. You know, it's one thing you go to work. If you can get a job, it's also a miracle. It's not so simple. So it's a Yom Hadin because now we're really in trouble. So Zayin Adar is not just, it was selected not just because it's the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira, which with it came the end of the Mon. And when the Mon came to an end, that reappear, that happens every year. We're in a new Tkufa where we have to earn our keep. We have to be able to make a Parnasa. To make a Parnasa, you need big Schusim. You have to have a job, and all that comes along with it. And that's why Zayin Adar is a very frightening day when you look at it from the perspective of the need to make Parnasa.
Adar is the last Monday.
It's the last Monday. It's the last Monday of the year. Okay, so that is definitely something that is very interesting. There is a very famous question. Okay, another reason why Zayin Adar is a special day for Moshe Rabbeinu and the Semtach and the Kaddisha, because it says in the Mishnah that the Echad Ba'Adar, they would go out to the graves to mark the graves. So the two were combined. Since, because after the winter is over, they would go out to the fields to make sure that it was marked, no one should be nichshol in coming in contact with the maid, especially the early regalim. So it became a custom. Since Zayin Adar is the Yom Kivur of Moshe Rabbeinu, v'lo yada ish es kivur also, think about Moshe's kever was a danger, because no one knew where he was buried. Hashem did not mark the grave. If someone comes in the vicinity of Moshe's kever, they become tamei. Unless you want to become the chassidim, the kivri tzaddik v'na metamei. But if you don't work with that approach, the kivri tzaddik v'na metamei, if someone comes in contact with Moshe Rabbeinu's kever, he becomes tamei. So as a reminder, since Zayin Adar is the day, the ultimate day, the ultimate kever, which we're in danger from becoming tamei, and be'echad ba'adar, the bezin will go out to mark the graves to prevent people from initial and tumas kever. That is another reason why Zayin Adar became a very big day to go out to the Beis Hakvaros and to make sure everything is in order to be mekayim what it says in the Mishnah, they would mark the graves. That is a very popular question. Why is it that on the Yartzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu the minig is to fast? It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Yom Tzayim, you're supposed to fast. There are slichos, there are things that are meant to be done. And when the day of Lag BaOmer, when we have a tradition that Rashbi was Nisala L'Shamayim, even though there's a lot of proof that Rashbi did not die in Lag BaOmer, okay, but put that aside. But let's assume for the moment that Rashbi did die in Lag BaOmer. Why is the Yom Petira of Rashbi a day of celebration, not a day of mourning? So Alpi Kabbalah, many want to say is that it's not a contradiction because Rashbi and Moshe are the same. There's a lot of the Kabbalah in the Zohar that Rashbi was a Nitzotz. I don't know the terminology, a Gilgal, a Nitzotz, was a chelik of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu came back to reveal the Sisrei Torah. So it's not really that is a contradiction. We're favoring one, we're doing both for the same person. Moshe and Rashbi, they all come from the same Sheresh. So we fast on Moshe's Petira and we rejoice on the Petira of Rashbi. Okay, whatever that means. But on Derech Pshat, the Chazal say that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, what happened in his mourning? 300 halachos were forgotten. There was avelos. There was avelos not just for Moshe's petir, but avelos for Torah's Moshe was forgotten. When Rashbi died, the day that Rashbi died, he revealed the Sisrei Torah. Whatever that means. He revealed Sisrei Torah. And Chazal say 3,000 halachas of Sisrei Torah were revealed. So that's why there's a difference. Moshe's Petira, there was a loss. On Rashi's Petira, there's a revelation of Sisrei Torah. So for the revelation, there is simcha. For the loss, there is tsar.
Yeah. As opposed to a normal Yartzeit, it's a sad day, but since Rav Shimon Bar Yochai
didn't want to be on this earth anymore.
He didn't. Not that's another answer.
So
that's another very.
It was a Yom Simcha. That he left this world.
Kvoidei shel Adam. Exactly. That's another approach. Kvoidei shel Adam is Ritzoina, is what he wants. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the worst way, did not want to die.
Right.
Moshe Rabbeinu begged, he was mispalel, v'eschanan el Hashem, v'gmachav yeschanan, he was mispalel not to die, to be allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu's will was not fulfilled, he had very great tsar. And therefore, if that he has tsar, we have tsar. As bizarre as it seems, Rashbi wanted to die. That's what it says, v'feresh in the Zohar. He yearned for this day. He yearned for this day to go back to Shemayim, to go to where his neshama came from. He rejoiced. If this is what he wants, so we rejoice with him. It's a powerful limud hamusa that the covet of a person is to do what he wants, not what you want. Moshe did not want to die. He had tsar, we have tsar. Rashi wanted to die, so he rejoiced, so we also rejoice, as bizarre as it may seem. Okay, so I think that pretty much concludes everything I wanted to tell you about Lag BaOmer. Let me just conclude with a short vart, a short 2-3 verloch on the Megillah. Today it's becoming very popular to say Krevetz on Purim. Does anyone here say Krevetz on Purim?
Yeah.
People don't say Krevetz the whole year round, but Purim, for some reason, people like saying. I don't know why, but that's how it is. In the Krevetz, there is only one bracha which you skip, where there is no Krevetz, before you include the bracha of Es Samach Tav. So the question is why? Why is that bracha not have an addition, a supplement? So the common answer is, there are two very common answers. One answer is that it was lost from us. There was once upon a time a Krevetz. There was a Krevetz for Esamach, that through the Golos, it didn't survive. The Galos. That's a very big doichi to say such thing, but that's what some want to say. The other more popular answer, was Mr. Weiss just mentioned, is because since the miracle of Purim was done by Mordechai, and Mordechai was Ishimini, he was a descendant of Shaul. So today, Purim is a day when we give cover to the Malchus of Shaul, the Shevet Binyamin. It's not a time for David, the Malchus of David, to take the limelight. So David is in the background. We give cover to the Malchus of Shaul, Esther and Mordechai, who are descendants of Shaul. And that's why, when it comes to Simach David, we are quiet, we are silent, there is no Krevetz. And another answer given, which fits very much in line with the thought, the ideas of Rav David Cohen. Rav David Cohen, in the Svarim, on Mas Kappa, when he talks about Tefillah, he mentions this many times, Tzimachleikas, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, how many brachos originally were there in the Shemona Esrei. We call it the Shemona Esrei 18. We never have 18 brachos. They're always 19, or they're 7, or there are 9. They never have 18. But why is it called the 18 brachos of Shemona Esrei? So according to the Bavli, originally there were 18 brachos. That's right. And then at a later point in time, they added V'lama al-Shinim, they made 19 brachos. But according to the Yerushalmi, it's very clear, originally there were 17 brachos. That was the original. It was never Shemona Esrei. It was 17 because the bracha of Es Semach David and the bracha Bonei Yerushalayim was one bracha. It's clear as day in the Yerushalmi. Rav David Cohen says this many times. And then they added V'lam Al Shinim and they made it to 18. Oh, that's why we call it. It was called the 18. And a later point in time, for whatever reason, they decided to break up Es Semach David and Yerushalayim into two separate brachas. That was a later addition into the Shemona Esrei. But originally, the earliest time the Shemona Esrei was composed, Es Semach David and Yerushalayim was one bracha. So based upon this, I saw this in Rabbi Klein's Sefer, Alehi Goyon. I used to quote the Sefer very often on Friday, Alehi Goyon. He says an amazing study. He says there's a very big debate as to when the Kalir lived. The one who composed the Krevetz that we say on Purim was composed by the Kalir. When did he live? Big mystery. It's a 1,000-year period of time that he could have lived. There arise, everyone is searching high and low to see secrets in his writings as to figure out when he lived. And there arise all across the board where he lived, when he lived, how he signed his name, who was he. But some want to suggest, based upon this, fascinating, that he lived right after the Churban Bayis, when the Nusach HaTfil was composed, in Eretz Yisrael, and it was one bracha Fascinating. It was one bracha. Esemach Davin and Yerushalayim was one bracha. And that's why there's no kreivetz for Esemach Davin, because it was originally one bracha. He lived in Yerushalayim, the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi only had 17 brachas in the earliest period of time, which you can actually date. I think Davikon can date exactly when this change came about. With the earliest period of time, he lived at that period of time in Yerushalayim, not in Chutz Liaretz and all of these cities which they want to tell you he lived here, he lived there. He lived in Yerushalayim. The other rise, he lived in Yerushalayim. He never made a piyut for the second day Rosh Hashanah, which seems to mean that he lived during a time when Rosh Hashanah was only one day, which puts him at a very early period of time when the Rosh Hashanah was only one day. So that fits. He lived in Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim they only had 17 brachas. As Semach David Hashem is one bracha, and there's no piyut for as Semach David. Now we continue to say the kreivetz, and we broke it into brachas. We don't have anything to fill that place. That's why it remains without, not because of this lomisha reason, because David, we don't want to give cover to David, because today is not his day, it's day of show. That's not the time. He didn't live it. Okay, that's what. One more less short vart. This vart is, I think, very...
Is that what it means when it says, Shemitah Marabrachas, that's really in the 5th century.
That's much later.
I know. That's my point. So then maybe he split the bracha.
He already ate a Lamal Shinim. Which came first? Which came in the Yushalmi's version? Did the Lamal Shinim come first? Yeah, okay. These are all questions. Yeah, so they're different ways. The Baal and Yushalmi. And Rav Dov Koni, he talks about this. He has a lot of different essays on this 17, 18, 19, how it came about, Bavli and Yerushalmi. So one last Vara, this Vara I think is a very chashuv Vara sorcerer, this is in the Alehi Goyon. The Megillah is called Megillas Esther. But when we lay in the Megillah, and the way we write the Megillah, Chazal are very strict, it has to be Ki'igeres, like a letter. It's the only thing. All of our Sfarim are Sfarim. We have Chamish Shechom Sheitar, it's a Sefer. We have Nevi'im, they're Sfarim. We have Chamish Megillos. Gezundahei, Chamish Megillos. Only with regard to the Megillah is there a new concept called Ki'igeres. It says, Beferish Megillah, as Ki'igeres Hazos, and that's why when the Baal Kari relains, it has to be spread out, open up the entire thing, has to be back and forth, and it has to be written in a certain way. And yeah, when you say the word Igeres, he's supposed to pick it up. And listen, what is the difference between an Igeres and a Megillah? And so he explains that we find in the Gemara, there's a question asked to Moshe Rabbeinu, when did he write the Torah? Did Moshe Rabbeinu write the Torah in one shot at the end of his life? He just sat down, he wrote the whole Torah in one shot, or Megillah, it was Nichtav. It was written, Megillah. Hashem's Moshe Rabbeinu, he had from the Avos, Parshas Lech Lecha, he had from Adam HaRishon, Parshas Bereshit, Parshas Noach, and a little Megillah here, a little Megillah here. And then when he received the Torah, Hashem taught him a little some Torah here, a Parsha here, a Parsha there. Megillah, Nichtav. It was written in small little sections. And then at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he took all the little Megillahs and he put it together into one sefer. So what do we learn from this Maamar Chazal? That a Megillah is something which is isolated. It's a small little section, a small story. Isolated, has nothing to do with the other sections. A sefer is when you put everything together. That's called a sefer. And that's also what an Igeres. What is an Igeres? An Igeres is a letter. And the letter, the way we see when you read, you have to have the whole thing in front of you. When you lay in the Megillah, it's Nikres Ki'igeres, Gemara says. And how do we interpret Nikres Ki'igeres? You have to roll the entire thing in front of you. You go to Shul, Baal Kari, has the whole Megillah open. Not like a Sefer. Sefer, you only read what's in front of you. It's all connected. The Sefer, everything is connected. But Nigeres means more than a Sefer. Everything is presented on the Bima. What's the meaning? The story of the Megillah is all about isolated little events that have happened. There was a Maisa Shehoya where Achashverosh made a party. And Vashti didn't want to come. And what happened? Achashverosh said, you don't want to come, I'm going to kill you. And he killed her. That's a Megillah. That's a story. Take that event, put it in the archives. There's a Megillah. Mordechai, he heard, big son of a Seresh, wanted to kill Achashverosh. He tells Esther, story is over, a Megillah. Another story happens, Haman wants to go destroy the Jews, a Megillah. The entire story of Esther, Megillah's Esther, is Megillah, Nichtav. Are small little stories, isolated events that are separate. When you read the Megillah, the avod of Purim is to realize that all of these little Megillahs all come together into one story, into one hashkacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings together all the small events that happen in the world. They're not isolated events. They're all woven into one maisa, one event where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Nisim for Klal Yisrael. It's called the Megillah. It's Megillas Esther. But it's the Megillas Esther is Nikreis when it's read. Kigeres. Take the little stories in the Megillah and read it. That's the avodah of Purim, what it's all about. Alright, that's it for today. Have a wonderful day.